News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, if you are literally going on vacation, if you're going, you know, outside of the range of our overly broad range of AM FM right here at News Talk 92.5 and 770 AM, it doesn't matter. You can be anywhere in the world, literally, and listen to Right Side Radio. We got folks that do it all the time. We had two callers from Tennessee yesterday. We have callers from Jeff from Indiana. We got Jerome in Rome. We got people up in Virginia, folks down in California apparently listening to the podcast. Listen, the way they do that is they go and listen to the show streaming online. So if you're getting outside of AM FM, just know that it does not matter. You can go to anywhere you want to on the World Wide Web. You can go anywhere in the world, and you can just click on rightsideradio.org. Yep, rightsideradio.org. And no matter where you is, there we is what I always say. I'm looking right now at some of the things on the website. By the way, it's a pretty robust website. Birdman does a great job of keeping it up. But all that to say, like for instance, besides listening live, you can do things like hitting up our podcast. If you're a podcaster, which apparently like half the world is now, you can listen to a part of the show twice by picking it up again the next morning. You can listen to it on your morning drive. You can take a segment that you liked of the show and email it to somebody or post it on your social media. Whatever the case may be, podcasting takes radio, compartmentalizes it in segments, and gives it back to you so you can listen to it at your leisure or post it or whatever. I'm looking right now. I just clicked on it. We're over 34,000 downloads now.
Ooh, nice.
I know. 34,000. What's up? But yes, that is big doings. So yes, over 34,000 downloads on the Right Side Radio podcast, which is the show segmented out, like I said, and put up there where you can grab it. Other things on there, the Right Side store. We got the photo gallery. We got the writings that Copper and I both do for statewide periodicals. Anyway, kind of fun. Check out the rightsideradio.org website. Maybe you want to go to the Right Side store and get you a pair of socks, Right Side socks. I love that. Okay. Breaking news, things that are happening right now. So President Biden just did a press conference. I'll give him props on this. He did the press conference, number one, because if you remember back in the early days of his administration, I'm not sure what was happening. Maybe he was too tired or something. But during the early days of the administration, he did not go out in front of the press very often. And when he did, he didn't take questions. He would literally read from the teleprompter and walk away. Well, he gave a press conference today. He read his comments and then he took questions. Now, he did the thing usually where he says, I've been told to refer to this list of people to call. Okay. But it worked. A number of questions were asked. Here's the breaking news piece. There were things within that press conference that, like at one point, I'm like, wait, did he just say that? And he did say that. At one point, he was asked, they didn't use the word red line, but they asked, basically, if Putin uses chemical weapons like your administration has been saying that you're concerned that he may be about to do, does that in any way instigate a U.S. response? His words were, we would respond in kind. Now, Biden's known for gaffes. I feel certain that Jen Psaki, who's at home right now quarantining with COVID, is pulling her hair out and trying to figure out how to reword that. Because the very idea that he said we would respond in kind, I mean, you don't want to take anything off the table. He's notorious for taking things off the table unnecessarily. But I would hate to think that we're saying we're looking at we would definitely respond with chemical weapons. I mean, you can have a proportionate response without it having to be chemical weapons. And if you do that, by the way, on the battlefield, you're still initiating the same level of collateral damage on civilians in the area as you are on the troops. Now, nuclear, biological, chemical warfare, that's the nastiness. I mean, how many times any of you who served in the military who had to go through, you know, NBC training and do things like, you know, wear the pro mask and the entire, you know, mop suit and do all the things to get ready for a potential chemical or biological attack. It's the thing you never want to see happen. Every single one of us who has served would much rather face bullets and bombs than to deal with nuclear, biological, or chemical. Now, there's that. Other things that are happening, though, in the realm of what's going on in Ukraine, NATO is reacting right now. NATO is appearing to be unified. NATO is saying that they are together on all of this. And they were asked about whether or not Putin would be removed or Russia be removed from the G20. And there's a question about whether they're going to remove them from the G20. So this is all developing as we speak. We'll talk about that in segment two of today's Triple Dipper. Anyway, a whole lot of stuff. Coming up next, though, we're going to get right into, does Alabama see a candidate that it likes yet? I mean, it's, in case you hadn't noticed, it's election season. I guarantee you've noticed because that's all that's on your TV commercials. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, coming up at the top of the next hour, 3 o'clock, you're going to have Brian Dawson, who's the president of 1819 News, on air with me. We're going to talk through some of the things that I'm going to be covering here in a few minutes and get his perspective on the recent governor's forum that he and 1819 helped host. It was rather interesting in several ways. But I got to tell you, 1819 News, like today, the first part of my Triple Dipper, I'm calling it, Does Alabama See a Candidate It Likes Yet? I would say 60% of the stories I pulled today also came from 1819. I want to encourage you guys, if you are listening to this show, you're already probably a news hound to some degree, and you're looking for news sources, let me tell you, the 1819 News is one you got to check out. If you want clear-cut news, if you want news that gets out there and just calls balls and strikes and gives you clear reporting on what's happening in your state, 1819news.com, that's 1819news.com. This has basically taken Alabama news by storm, and they're doing a great job. I know all the folks over there. They are solid. They're also conservatives, but the reality is they are going to report the news, good, bad, or indifferent. And they also are, by the way, folks that just love Alabama. And so you're also going to find the good news stories, things that make you proud of where you live. So, yeah, check them out, 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. And I got to tell you, it's kind of cool. Ray Melick, who is actually, he and Brian have substituted for me here before when I was out of town. Story came out today on 1819 News. That Ray Melick, who, if some of y'all have been around Alabama News for a while, you may recall that he was a sports writer back in the day and a sports caster. And he's been named as the Alabama Sports Writer of the Year three times. But he just yesterday, it was announced that the Alabama Sports Writers Association has named him as one of the 50 legends of Alabama sports writers. That's very cool. So he's like in the top 50 all time. Basically it's the Sports Writers Hall of Fame for Alabama. That's very cool. There've been some who have made their name, like, you know, Charles Hollis and Cecil Hurd of the Tuscaloosa News and Birmingham News. But anyway, yeah, Ray Melick, my friend at 1819, just given that honor, and that is very cool. Now listen, talking through this, you know, I gave my monologue a minute ago about, you know, what are we looking for? What do you want? I'm gonna tell you, you know, TV commercials, radio commercials, they give you a nugget, they give you something you can go, huh? But that's about all it gives you. And there's two kinds. If you don't hear, obviously, you can tell which ones are against a candidate, but if you don't hear, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message, that means their campaign didn't put the commercial together. That means a special interest or a super PAC did it for them. And you also know this, super PACs. So when you see something like, what one super PAC, I guess, is Club for Growth, has been running ads mostly against Katie Britt, they are in favor of Mo Brooks. The other one, what's the name of the one supporting Mike Durant? American Freedom? Anyway, the bottom line is these super PACs, the campaigns are not allowed by law to talk with those super PACs. They can't. They can't direct anything. They can't have conversations. They can have no direct contact. Those commercials that don't say, I'm so-and-so and I support this message, the candidate may be glad they ran on their behalf, but they're not an ad that was approved by the campaign, drafted by the campaign, made by the campaign. Anyway, I'm sure there's a wink, wink, and a nod, nod sometimes with things that are said and done, you know, behind closed doors about the super PACs. But the reality is this, those come from separate sourcing. The ones you want to really focus on are when the candidate's talking about themselves or the campaign's talking about themselves, and they end it with, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message. That's the law. They have to do that. I did it on multiple times for my commercials. Those are the ones I'm most interested at because that's when the candidate is talking about themselves and generally speaks in a way that affirms something. Well, all that to say, those are the ones I try to grab the nuggets of and go check them out. Does that person really stand for this? They say they do. Is that person really done this before? They say they did. Anyway, there's that. Just a little nugget before I get into this. And I got a caller already, so let me grab that real quick. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, Sparky, how you doing today?
Hey, buddy. I just got back in town from Savannah. Hey, I'm disappointed in conservatives and Republicans stooping to this much dishonesty, overt dishonesty, and intellectual dishonesty in the recent attack ads against other Republicans. And I get it, it's the PACs and whatnot, but I think it's beneath them that there should be, let's tell the truth about the good of our candidate, but knock off all the dishonest, Mo Brooks voted with, Nancy Pelosi against the troops. You know, come on, man. And nobody believes that.
Yeah.
And it destroys the credibility of, I guess, the whole conservative movement, in my opinion, because it should be founded in integrity and honesty, not that kind of dishonesty.
No, I totally agree. And what winds up happening, too, is one of these Republicans is very likely, I would say like 100% for the most part, 96%, going to wind up being the U.S. senator. But there's going to be a runoff. And so then they're going to have to campaign against whatever Democrats are in the race. So they spend a lot of time beating I said it in my monologue the other day, they spend a lot of time beating the stew out of each other. And you just hope there's something left to work with when you get into the general election.
Yeah, it's awful short-sighted, though.
It is. It's a crying shame. And it's also amazing how disingenuous some of it is. You're right. I had my opponent in one of my races ran an ad saying that I had raised taxes 264 times. I was like, what in the world was he talking about? So I gave a speech soon thereafter, and I said, tell me which of you in this room has had your taxes raised by me. Nobody could raise their hand because it wasn't true.
Right.
But anyway, Sparky, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it very much. All right. So listen, first story I've got here deals with I don't want to call it an atom bomb, but basically the big explosion yesterday in the U.S. Senate race here in Alabama. So 1819 ran multiple stories on this along with AL.com and Yellowhammer. So first one I've got is headlined as of today's date, Brooks addresses Trump and Brit campaign ads. Addresses Trump, Brit, and campaign ads. So, you know, the story broke yesterday that Donald Trump, who had endorsed Mo Brooks early on, you know, they were both, you know, accused of foul play and wrongdoing and criminal activity and treason for being at the January 6th rally before any activity took place at the Capitol. How dare they speak to the public? How dare? Anyway, Mo Brooks has been dismissed from that Eric Swalwell frivolous lawsuit. But that being said, Brooks yesterday lost the endorsement of Donald Trump. That's raised a lot of ire. I'm already seeing things on social media with people saying, what kind of loyalty is that, you know, that you would literally do that to somebody 60 days from the election and just switch? Well, that's the fickle winds of campaigning right there. That's the fickle winds of someone attaching their name to a campaign. So anyway, Mo Brooks addressed campaign ads and rhetoric as well as his relationship with Donald Trump before the River Region Republicans in Montgomery. He literally, you know, according to polling, Brooks is now ranked third. He's been ranked first for the longest time. We'll see what the next poll shows, but I guarantee you losing Trump's endorsement hurt a lot. That's me talking. Brooks went on to continue to assert that he's the only real Republican option for voters in the state. He also believes he has the most consistent voting record. Okay. He went on down the line in this speech, and he also talks about the fact that he says he's been a Republican, you know, on the record for many years. In his words, he said, I chose our party and our values because I believe we are a political party, not a social club. He did it way back when he says it was easier to get elected as a Democrat. That's true. He also talked about exactly what Sparky just said. He says, I'm having to fight these deceitful, lying campaign ads. According to Brooks, the various ads feature several claims, including that Brooks is anti-military and supports Islamic terrorism. Here's his response to that. He said, I've been elected to public office 14 times. Which part of the state of Alabama has more military jobs than any other? That'd be the Huntsville and Tennessee Valley area in my district. Now think for a moment, he says. Would those folks have elected 14 different times a public servant who is anti-military and for the Islamic State and for Al-Qaeda and loves Nancy Pelosi? And he basically encourages people to do their own research and recognize the lies in, the, he says, the lies in Katie Britt's ads. All right, now, what's happening next, though? So Yellowhammer News reported as of yesterday that Republican U.S. Senate candidate Mike Durant recently met with former President Donald Trump at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach. Now, I'm aware that Lindy Blanchard was also down there. Not sure we're going to see an endorsement in that race, but nonetheless, she's running for governor now, obviously. But apparently, just this past Monday, Mike Durant was at Mar-a-Lago meeting with Trump. The meeting confirmation comes on the heels of Trump releasing a statement announcing that he had rescinded his endorsement of U.S. Representative Mo Brooks. The former president pointed to polling, which showed that Brooks' support among Republican voters had taken a significant downturn. Yeah, well, there you go. Goes on to say, you know, quoting certain things from Durant, who talks about election integrity. He says President Trump was robbed by corrupt Democrats who changed the rules and then refused to investigate valid instances of fraud. So what you got here is the bottom line is this. Trump withdrew his endorsement of Brooks. He says that when they were on the stage in Coleman, on the stage at the big rally they had in Coleman just, you know, a few months back, that literally Mo Brooks apparently stood up. I wasn't there, but I understand that Mo Brooks stood up and said, we've got to get past the 2020 elections and move forward. Something like that. And Trump says, when he said that, I told him, you just lost the election. Well, I didn't hear it, but apparently just this morning on another show, Brooks said, that was never said to me. That was never a part of it. He just believes now that what's happening is that Trump is scared that the poll numbers aren't where he wants them to be, and he's not going to stand by his man. It just depends on who you talk to right now. And anyway, what we do know is Brooks lost the endorsement, and Mike Durant has now been down at Mar-a-Lago, I'm sure, seeking the endorsement. Well, next story. 1819 News again, this time dated today. U.S. Senate hopeful Durant feels pretty good about Trump meeting. Well, there you go. He goes on to talk about the fact that they met for over an hour. They had a great time. He says, you know, we talked a lot about the situation in Somalia where Mike Durant was taken prisoner. We talked about a lot of topics. He said, with President Trump, you can cover a lot of ground in an hour. He said, I left there feeling pretty good about the meeting. Copper, what you got? Tell me what you got.
Oh, I mean, I actually would be more likely to vote for Mo Brooks if he doesn't have to be so Trumpy anymore. I think he was having a hard time trying to appeal to a wide range of voters. It's like he either had to appeal to the crazy diehard Trumpies who have conspiracy theories around every corner, or the average Alabamian who doesn't quite feel comfortable with that and is sick of that.
Okay, now I guess I got to ask you to clarify, because the average Alabamian voted for Trump.
Well, yes, but...
I mean, we're not all QAnon supporters, so what do you say?
But that doesn't mean that the average Alabamian thinks that January 6th was the best thing ever and is running around, you know, saying that the election was stolen, and there, if you don't believe that, you are a liberal.
Well, okay, first of all, I'll do two things. Trump has never said January 6th was great.
Yeah.
He does not agree with what happened on January 6th in the Capitol. In fact, he's on record as calling for people to stay calm and to not break the law. So he did do that. But the whole thing about election integrity, I'm of the mind that this election was swayed hard by election integrity being violated in multiple places. I think Georgia being key. I think and then it followed up again with the Georgia Senate race, and then I think that, you know, New Jersey and Massachusetts, and it was awful the way that some of the states just changed their rules in violation of the Constitution. So I do believe that election integrity was violated.
I agree with that, but I don't know if it was a huge plot, 5 years in the making, and everything was stolen at every level. And
no,
if I don't believe that, then I hate conservatism.
No, well, no. I mean, I don't know who does believe that it was 5 years in the making, but I do believe that the Democrats will never let a crisis go to waste. They always say that, and so
true.
I think they capitalized on COVID and made something that shouldn't have been to happen. But hey, oh, we're late, Copper. Go ahead and take us to a break. Let's do that real quick, and we'll come back and keep this going. Yep, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Coming up, more of, does Alabama see a candidate it likes yet? Got a little bit here on the governor's race and a little bit more on things that are being said about the Mo Brooks endorsement, atom bomb. And then top of the hour, Brian Dawson from 1819 News will tell us how things went with the recent governor's forum, among other things. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. You know, Copper, grab the mic there. So hearkening back to the conversation we were having there right before we went to the break.
I think I painted a target on my head.
No, I wouldn't say that. But, I mean, you have an opinion. I think, though, it's fair to say the Trump endorsement means something.
True.
I do think, though, there's going to wind up being people in this state who look at that and go, what the heck, man? Because they're Brooks fans. Or, for that matter, they just believe in sticking by your guy, and that frustrates them. I think there's others who are going to say, well, whatever Trump says is what I'm going to do, and so that's going to wind up meaning something, and his endorsement will, in fact, affect the race. The other thing, though, to consider is that, for instance, I live in the 4th Congressional District. That's Adderholtz District. And the 4th Congressional had the highest per capita vote for Trump of any congressional district in the entire United States in both elections, 2016 and 2020. So apparently he is a very popular, Republican name still to this day. Now, the question is going to be, did he hurt his own brand with this jerking of an endorsement 60 days before? And people are going to see that as being, oh, he's trying to protect the Trump brand, whereas some are, saying, no, he just wanted to make sure he has the right candidate. Well, I mean, we'll play it out and see. I would say right now, I'm going to say that Mike Durant is probably the lead candidate to get the endorsement. And I say that in part because it's kind of hard to come back from some of the things you said. And Trump has called Katie Britt the Liz Cheney of Alabama. I mean, he did a piece on that, on social media or something. And so it's going to be kind of hard to come back and go, I was wrong. I really like her. But then at the same time, Mike Durant was just down there. There's that. Mike Durant is obviously surging in the polls. In fact, Mike Durant's campaign has surged from the minute he got in. He's never had a trend down in the polls. And so that's to be considered. Another story off AL.com before we go to the break. AL.com, this is tacky. Now, I guess Shelby has no love for Mo Brooks because Mo Brooks has had no love for Shelby. But I thought it was kind of interesting. AL.com reports that yesterday, when asked to offer his own assessment of why President Trump took back his endorsement of Mo Brooks, it says that Shelby didn't mince any words, that he literally said, well, Brooks's campaign was tanking anyway. That's one of those things that's like a stab in the gut as you're, walking past. And there's also reports by Politico most recently that Shelby is planning to pour as much as $6 million of his remaining super PAC or reigning campaign money into a super PAC that supports Katie Britt. So we'll see. But right now, we definitely know who Shelby's for. That's his former chief of staff, is Katie Britt. All right, folks, listen, coming up here in a minute, we ran long on the first segment, so we had a short second segment. But coming up next after the news, we got my friend Brian Dawson, president of 1819 News. We'll have him on, talk about some more of this political stuff. Does Alabama see a candidate it likes yet? I'll get Brian's opinion, too. All right, folks, hang on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.